Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XI, or Roman numeral 11, the preface page. We'll start with the first paragraph, which begins, "This is the fourth edition." We'll read through two paragraphs ending, "Our society's great medical benefactor." Comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, CJH, 12 Traditions, Brandy M. Our readers will be Wendy B., Kathy G., and Sherry KB, and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. Reference numbers for Monday, December 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,282. And to Tuesday, December 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,284. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask CJH to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Gina. This is CJH. Can I be heard?
Yes.
All right. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you so much, CJH. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, it's Brandy M., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous to accept in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OAS sought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Oh, and thank you so much for that service, Brandy M. Okay, here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, please make sure you are not using a speakerphone. Speak directly into your phone or headset, then press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XI, or Roman numeral 11, preface page. We're going to start with the first paragraph beginning, this is the fourth edition, reading through two paragraphs ending, our society's great medical benefactor, and we'll comment on both paragraphs. I will ask Wendy B. to begin reading.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. So, preface. This is the fourth edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. The first edition appeared in April 1939, and in the following 16 years, more than 300,000 copies went into circulation. The second edition, published in 1955, reached a total of more than 1,150,500 copies. The third edition, which came off press in 1976, achieved a circulation of approximately 19,550,000 in all formats. Because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to recover, there exists strong sentiment against any radical changes being made to it. Therefore, the first portion of this volume describing the AA recovery program has been left largely untouched in the course of revisions made for the second, third, and fourth editions. The section called the doctor's opinion has been kept intact, just as it was originally written in 1939 by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, our society's great medical benefactor. And so I looked up the word preface, and it means an introduction to a book, typically stating its subject, scope, or aims. And this second paragraph tells us that this book is the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to recover. You know, and that's the aim, you know, that's the purpose, to bring us to recovery. And recovery means a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. And the foreword to the first edition says, to show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And that we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm just so grateful that they didn't make any radical changes to this text, you know, that it was kept intact. Because it changed my life. You know, I got recovered from reading these pages and doing the work the way it was written, you know, the way I think is being reprogrammed. And I think if they made changes to it, it would bring more division into the fellowship. You know, people would follow the original text, you know, and then other people would want to follow the new version. And, you know, as an addict, I know I would sit in judgment of those not following the program the way, you know, I do, and I would arrogantly think I'm right, you know, and God's helping me to be accepting of others, you know, that don't work the program the same way I do. And he's giving me love and tolerance, you know, and the ability to appreciate the gifts each of us bring to the table. And there are already so many different, you know, 12-step food programs, you know, with so many differences. And I'm just so glad the big book is remaining the same, you know, and our unchanging firm foundation, you know, the basic text for our program. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. Okay, I'm ready to take names of folks who would like to share on these two paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Ginger C.
Gotcha, Ginger.
Roz G.
Cindy B.
Roz G. And was it Cindy?
Yes.
What's your last initial?
G.
G, okay.
D like in dog.
Gotcha.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T.
John K.
John K. One more to make it a even six.
Marissa E.
Marissa E. Okay, let's stop there. This is who I have in the lineup. Ginger C, Roz G, Cindy D, Marilyn T, John K, and Marissa E. Okay, Ginger, you're up. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Gina R. Thank you so much for your service. It's so great to hear you moderating. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I love the beginning when we heard the reading of the growth of this book in volumes. And it's quite interesting because when this book was first off the press, they weren't selling it and they were going broke and they were a little nervous. And then to see, you know, with God's grace, this was obviously meant to be, because those numbers, those volumes just kept selling. We get more editions, and we see where the numbers are today in 2018, now approaching 2019. And thank you, God, like someone just mentioned, that started us off. It was only because of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that I found freedom from food. And I'll never forget being in Virginia Beach, and I shared a lot, but I didn't understand those sashes and the power of the big book or whatever they were doing, because I had no idea. I had no clue. I was Herbert Spencer's quote. I wasn't going to have the big book. It was dry. It was boring. And I had no idea what lied in between those pages, but the little that I saw, I wanted nothing to do with it. So I closed it shut. I put it on a shelf. It remained there for 24 years sitting in AA. So you would think I would have known the book. But then God is miraculous and mysterious and has great plans for all of us. And I got out to that convention and I saw why they were saying the power of the big book. This book saved me from an addiction that was not alcohol or drugs. It was food. It was sugar. And it was a nightmare. And it was because of this book that I have freedom today, and it's not a white-knuckled abstinence that sucks. It's pretty damn cool, because it's taken on a new meaning. It's this transformation, this God rearrangement. You know, we do the possible, God does the impossible, and you start thinking a little less about you and your plans and your designs, or your worries or your concerns, what you're going to lose or what you're not going to get. How about you think about what you can do for this world today, because it's hurting and it needs more love and it needs more smiles. And by being out of me and into you, I get to do that a day at a time. I get to be of maximum service by following these clear-cut directions. And I love that it's a textbook. A textbook gives us information. This is my manual for living. And if I'm not doing it and I'm not in it, like my life depends on it, what am I going to transmit? So thank God for Visions for You, that we get to study this. We are so privileged. We are so blessed. Anyone that's here today, count yourself lucky, because I go to AA meetings and I hear a lot of mess. And we have such a message on this line. So go share it with others, because there's many out there. The rooms are filling up. This is the time of the year. You know, the season's upon us and the rooms get heavy. And thank God, again, we're all here today doing it another day together. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Okay, Roz G., you're up next. You'll be followed by Cindy D. Please go ahead, Roz.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. This is Roz D., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater once again in Los Angeles County. And I just want to say that I have a history of being a know-it-all and not wanting to do what people say and wanting to do it my way. And a part of that strong sentiment is not changing what has been proven to be true by the most gutterist of drunks. And that's not a proper grammar, but you get what I'm trying to say. And I was fortunate enough to be able to hear Roseanne speak and read the book, and she rewrote the steps herself and found out that it didn't work. And so I, in the beginning, with the best that I could do, working with sponsors who just had me writing my history and doing the APOR and all this other stuff for years, none of it ever worked. I'm grateful for it. Okay. I learned things about myself. I tried my best, but it really wasn't until I took this book seriously and had to really experience the desperation and the powerlessness to see what I really am. I never really wanted to admit I wanted to be a part of. I wanted a fellowship. I sort of wanted to admit, but no. I mean, I don't have a choice. I there's some foods that make me black out, and it's dangerous. That's the kind of desperation I have for my disease now. But thank God for that book that tells me that. And so today I'm ready to just say yes, sir, instead of, well, yeah, but I, okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you so much, Roz G. Okay, Cindy D., you're up next. You'll be followed by Marilyn T. Cindy, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And I just want to say quickly that I'm so grateful for so many things when I read this page. I believe this book was divinely written, and I believe that what it tells us here is that it's divinely protected, through our group conscience, who is God. And that it showed me how to recover, for me, means how to live, and I continue to learn every day how to do that through the words of this book and through working with others. And I'm just grateful that we do understand not to change something that isn't broken, something that's been proven tried and true over and over with thousands and thousands of us across the world. And I'm grateful that this meeting talks about this book every day and that we really dig into it and get down to the nitty-gritty. And I'm grateful that I have my fellows that share their experience, strength, and hope with me. And with that, thanks, Gina. I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Oh, and thank you so much, Cindy D. Okay, Marilyn T., you are up next. You'll be followed by John K. Marilyn, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Marilyn T. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, I was having trouble with my phone or my fingers. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive preacher from Northern California. And what I was just looking at was the amount of volume. So there's been almost 12 million copies, probably more, sold of this book. That just tells me so many people relate to it and understand it and get the gist of it. And it's the basic text of our society that helps a large number of people, men and women, get recovered. That was so meaningful to me. And the other thing that really got me was that, there's no radical changes, they agreed to be made. And but here's the thing that kind of really tripped me out about this was the first portion and the doctor's opinion have never been changed. So that the gist of what we use in our program right here has never been changed because it's worked from the very beginning. They've added stories, etc. But this has worked from the very beginning. And that tells me that this is a tried and true, since 1930s, tried and true form that helps people recover from a seemingly hopeless disease. And
I take great comfort in knowing that there's been many people that walked ahead of me with this. And if you stick to this program, entire abstinence, if we do the way we have been taught and we pass this down, we can have a complete abstinence. It's a miracle. It really is a miracle. The miracle has brought me to a very close relationship with my higher power, something I never had before, this kind of a connection, a personal higher power. Being able to help people and getting out of my own way, doing the next right thing, helping others, thinking of others first. I have several sponsees. Interesting, they're all in their fourth step right now. And just having finished at the end of August, I'm very thankful that I've been able to carry this message and that I continue to do so. But I would be nowhere without this book. I would be nowhere without coming to Vision for You and doing the program. And for that, I'm really eternally thankful. Thank you. I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Marilyn T. Okay, we've got John K. up next, followed by Marissa E. Feel free to go ahead, John.
Okay, good morning, family. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. I wasn't going to share today, but because I shared yesterday, but since it was a little empty air, I thought I'd put in my two cents. You know, when I think of it, I go, you know, let's face it, there are a few things, none of the guts stuff, but there are a few things that, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing changed if I had my druthers, you know, just because I think it makes newcomers turn away, you know, the old archaic language and phrases and the heavily male-oriented text. You know, sometimes it makes me wince when I'm in a big book meeting and I hear some of those phrases. I think, oh, my God, what are newcomers thinking about this? But, you know, I'm not God. They'll hear it or they won't. They'll be ready or they won't be. And so, you know, and our reader said exactly what I always tell newcomers who come and talk to me about that and sort of complain about it. And I said, you know, if we came out with a new book, big book, let's say we rewrote it a little, there's a human nature would take over and there would immediately be a schism. You know, I'm a new big book person. Well, I'm an old big book person. And, you know, there's such a, you know, and you can just see it in the world with things, whether it's religions or whatever, the people who, I'm old enough to remember when the Catholic Church, the masses were all in Latin, and then they went to non-Latin, and then a bunch of people were like, well, I want to go to the masses that are all Latin, and, you know, things like that. There's just this human nature thing to want to feel superior by doing something like that. And I mean, it even happens with changes of addiction. You know, I'm old enough that when I got sober, there were still people talking about how they liked the second edition, you know, and when I got sober, it was the third edition. And I was a little, you know, when the fourth edition came out, I remember harumphing because what we know is page 417, except this thing used to be on page 449. And I was like, what, you guys couldn't figure out how to keep it on the same page? But one of the reasons I sort of it went away was that I actually knew two of the people that were in this third edition stories. There was a story called Stars Don't Fall, and there was another one called Join the Tribe, and I knew the two. To those two people, they were from my home area in Connecticut, and the funny thing is, you can see why there should be changes just by reading that story that I was talking about, Join the Tribe in the third edition. It is horribly racist, and I don't to this day scratch my head and read it because it's about they were reaching out to Native Americans, but the story was like me drink 'em fire water, and it was just like ridiculous. And the guy who Maynard, who was the guy that was based on, who I knew, was from Connecticut. He didn't sound different. He didn't talk differently than anybody else. But they, for whatever reason, wanted to do that. But so you can see why certain things change, and they put in new stories. And in the fourth edition, I'll wrap up. There's so many more that deal with the different things like drugs that we didn't have before. So anyway, I'm just really happy that they haven't changed anything as much as sometimes I wince at it. I think God knows better than John. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you so much, John K. Okay, Marissa E., you will be up next. And before I have you go, I'm going to let everybody know we're on page XI or Roman numeral 11, the preface page, the first paragraph beginning, "This is the fourth edition. We're reading through two paragraphs ending our society's great medical benefactor." And we're commenting on both of those paragraphs. And after Marissa gets done sharing, I'll take a new lineup. Marissa, please go ahead. Marissa, press star one. Am I being heard?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure what happened with Marissa, so let's until she comes back in, I'm ready to take a new lineup. Who would like to share on these
Judy,
two paragraphs?
Can I share? No, I can't share.
Judy? Okay. Who else?
No, I can't share. I'm on a bus.
Linda G?
Linda G?
Sponsor.
Judy, I'm sorry, but that isn't what we're doing right now. Thank you for checking in. Okay.
Elaine T.
Who was after Linda G?
Sorry, Elaine T.
Elaine T. Okay. Who else?
Pia S.
Anita J.
Pia S. Anita J.
Penny H.
Penny. And then, what was it? Penny who?
Penny C.
Penny C. And who was after Penny?
Jackie H.
Jackie H. Okay. All right. Let me just address Judy. Judy, please stay on till the end of the meeting. We do have sponsors announce themselves after the recorded portion, and we're happy for you to contact those people, and they are too. All right. Here's the lineup right now. Linda G., Elaine T., Pia S., Anita J., Penny C., and Jackie H. Before I go to Linda, I want to do one last call for Marissa E. Marissa, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can. Okay, Marissa, go ahead, and then Linda will be after you. Go ahead, Marissa.
I'm so sorry. Okay, good morning, my fellows. Technical difficulties, life on life's terms. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Grateful to be on the lines. Okay, because this book has become the basic text for our society. So I remember when I first read this with my sponsor, I had to look up text, right? What is the meaning? And it's right, it's a textbook. That's one of the meanings, which translates to a written work chosen or assigned as a subject of study. And I can tell you that when I had that gift of desperation, right, when I was entirely willing to go to any lengths, I chose and I was assigned to read this book for study. And it's so interesting because I do appreciate some of the changes in the back of the book. And there, I remember when I first came into OA almost 10 years ago, I connected to a story, A Student of Life. Right? A student. I was a student. And there's just one line, and it says, "It is very important to my recovery to study and work the steps." And for me, I can say that it's vital, right? It is vital for my recovery to study and work the steps. And actually, I read that, right? And then it was just kind of in one ear and out the other. And for almost the past 10 years, I really did treat this book like it was a story. I remember the first time I read it, I was like, wow, this is incredible. Look at all these alcoholics getting sober, right? I didn't know that I was reading about myself. I didn't know that I was reading about my disease. I didn't know that I was reading about my practical program of action to get the solution. And my sponsor, right, that I met through Vision, my big book guide, she taught me. She emphasized, Marissa, you need to identify in with what you are reading, right? You need to identify in. How does this apply to your life? How do you relate? What are your experiences that are similar to these drunks? And I remember reading Bill's story the first time with that perspective, and it was a whole different experience. And I related so much because I was taught, right? I was assigned by my sponsor to read this as a textbook and apply it to my life. And I'm just so grateful for that foundation because I've just really got like some great concrete I'm not missing any, I'm not making mortar out of sand. I've got a strong foundation built on identifying in with this book. So that's it. Thank you, Gina, for calling me again. I pass.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, Linda G., you are up next. You'll be followed by Elaine T. Linda, please go ahead.
Good morning. Linda G., a recovering compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And I, too, really like or love the line, has become the basic text for our society and has helped large numbers of men and women to recovery. I was in another food program for 14 years, and the recovery was not with the big book, and there was just so much controversy and a big split, although they're still together, but the two founders aren't even speaking to each other. And I'm so glad that I'm in a vision and in OA now, because I don't have to, I can focus on my recovery. And so I absolutely know in every fiber of my body that working the steps through the big book is the solution for me. And I came into the Mother Fellowship 38 years ago. Never in 100 years would I have thought I was a compulsive overeater. And boy, I'm telling you, I switched seats on the Titanic very quickly at the age of 27. And I live on a small island off of Cape Cod, and we have 21,000 people here in the winter, and we have about 26 AA meetings a week, but not one food meeting, and only one big book set meeting. And you know, I'm there, and I show up at that one. So I'm just claiming my seat. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to be in the Boston area. And I know God and my spiritual guides are going to help me with my food. I'm helping my daughter. She had her first baby and had a C-section, and she's in her recovery program and very concerned about my abstinence. So I'm just grateful that I can bring a vision for you with me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda G. Okay, we've got Elaine T. followed by Pia S. Elaine, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elaine T. calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. And thank you, everyone on the line, and welcome newcomers. I am so excited to be restarting this book again with you all. I've been following along for, 3 years now, if I do the math right. And I've been recovered and slipped and back on program again, and am grateful that you all are still here, although I never left the rooms or you in terms of listening. I just, decided to take my will back, as the book says. And I'm grateful for the writers of the book and for the message that they bring of hope. Because I know I'm one of you, and I've always known I'm one of you, and it's always my defect of character of thinking I'm in charge that gets me into trouble. And yet I also know that my higher power is stronger than that and can help me and lift me up. And I have something to offer, even sometimes, I guess, when I think I don't. So, again, thank you so much, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine T. Okay, Pia S., you're up next, followed by Anita J. Pia, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your service, Gina. I'm Pia S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And what struck me today is, the sentence, there exists strong sentiment against any radical changes being made in it, meaning this book. And when I came in, I needed a radical change. I couldn't live. I was compulsively overeating, and my life was a mess. But I couldn't change myself. I needed something. I needed something that was larger than me, something that could change me. And by doing the steps and following the precise instructions that are in this book, that has been kept intact, that has been kept unbroken, pristine. I'm able to live on like a sane life now. I don't compulsively overeat. I handle life on life's terms. And because they talk about that this book is kept intact, the text is being kept intact, to me, that also means that it's pristine, and pristine is pure. And pure for me also talks about love. So for me, this book is actually pure love. It's just love of life, because if I follow the 12 steps, I begin, you know, loving myself, and I'm starting to love other people, and I can get to share this recovery that has been so freely given to me, and I'm just so grateful for this book, and I'm so grateful that they have kept it intact, and that I can have this radical change through getting in touch with my higher power, because, you know, God is the one that has changed me, but I had to do the steps to get there. So that's all I have today. Thank you, Gina. About.
Oh, thank you, Pia S. All right, we've got Anita J. up next. She'll be followed by Penny C. Anita, please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Gia. This is Anita J., recovered out in Massachusetts. Very grateful that you get more than one shot at this big book. Because it was only in 2014 that I took those two little words, basic text, seriously. I'd been around since 1978. I did this process in the 90s, taking over 3 years to finish this process, and eating on and off during it all. And I got what you expect, just to let people know, don't do it. Anyway, I used to listen to a woman, and this thought used to come to me, she treats it like a text. She acts like a teacher. Now, I always liked what she said, but that's all I thought. You know, look at that. She's like a teacher. And I never went up to her. What is my part in keeping an everlasting ignorance? Here's a woman who is speaking with confidence, with sureness, with abstinence, with some kind of recovery that I certainly didn't have. Did I go up to her and ask, you know, you remind me of a teacher. You treated, and I remember thinking basic text, but not noticing it in the book. Maybe then I would have heard, because Anita, it is the basic text to growing up and joining the human race. I don't know if she would use those words, but that is what happened, you know, in 2014. I am so grateful. It came when it came, but I'm the one who kept me in everlasting ignorance. Those words were always there. And I just was too proud to go up to another person and open a door like that. And that's all. I am. If you can hear the gratitude that I have had another chance, I'm filled with it. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you so much, Anita J. Penny C., you're up next, followed by Jackie H., and depending on how much time they take, there might be room for one more.
Good morning.
Go
I'm Penny.
Penny.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater, also in Massachusetts in the Boston area. And, oh, gosh, this book, the word text, really, that this is a textbook that we're going to be studying. We're not going to read. We're going to study. It's different. So, you know, people have given in the earlier meetings and today given definition of textbook. The one I found was that it was a document or a number of pages to be explicated, which just simply means explained, analyzed, or deconstructed. That means taken apart. And isn't that what we do? We take these sentences and paragraphs apart, and we delve into what it means, not necessarily what it means to someone else, but what it means to me and how I can use this to keep in recovery. You know, I've been so blessed with a long-term recovery, but it doesn't come free, you know. Freedom isn't free, as we hear. And so I need to keep studying this book. And unbelievably, I think this is probably on the telephone meeting, maybe at least the 10th time, maybe even more, that I've been through this book paragraph by paragraph. And yet, every single day, there's something that is emphasized or some new thing I learn by hearing people read, hearing people share, and you know, there's just no end to how much I can profit from listening and sharing when I have something to share. So I wanted to go back to the definition, and, you know, we say we explain, we analyze, we deconstruct or take it apart. The most important thing I believe that we need to do and I need to do is continuously identify. Identify with these people in these pages and the examples given, and also with the people who come on. You know, when I hear people that are in relapse, it's a help to me, because I heard a long time ago, everyone I meet is a power of example to me of what I want to be like or what I don't want to be like. And so I see every share as a lesson for me. And, oh, gosh, I'm so grateful and happy to be teachable after so many years of living, after so many years in this fellowship. I am still teachable, and, you know, by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, that will continue to happen. And I thank everybody who shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Okay, Jackie H., you are up next, and we will have time for maybe two shares after Jackie. Jackie, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, dear. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, grateful to be here. I've heard so many absolutely rich, beautiful shares this morning. I don't know what I could add, but I just have to speak. I have to speak because I'm so excited about what's happened in my life as a result of following the textbook that we have in front of us. And I'm recovered today as a result of this book. I was introduced to it actually a little over 10 years ago in another program in AA, and I really didn't care that much about it. I got relief. I did get relief from that, and I liked the stories in the back. That's what I liked. And as far as reading the rest of the book, I kind of picked it apart. I like other people thought, this isn't for me. This was written in the olden days, and this was written to men, and I just had a lot of prejudices about the book. And so I didn't mess with it. I didn't read it. It's this gold mine that I have, this this pearl that I have sat in my house for over 10 years. And then I come in here, and I've also appreciated the historians that talk on the line and have taught me about this book. It's been, I'm not a historian. I don't care about stuff like that very much, but I'm learning to care about it. And somebody said something today about this book not only being divinely written, but divinely kept intact, divinely protected. And for that, I am so very grateful. My sponsor taught me a lot of things. One of the things he taught me, though, as we went through this book, is he had lots of opinions, and we're all full of them. But his relationship with me was going to be based only on this big book and what the big book told me to say and to do. And I actually was teachable. I'm not a very teachable person. I think I know it all. But I was teachable like a little child. And let me tell you, today I sit here a recovered woman as a result of this book, as a result of another fellow that was selfless and shared this stuff with me. And I get to turn around and share it with other people, and I do so gladly. I didn't think I wanted to do this. I just wanted to get recovered and go on my way. Well, of course, that's not possible. As I look at this book, we have to do that. We have to keep going or we'll lose what we have. So right. I am grateful to be here today, and I love you all. Have a wonderful day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes left. We can do two-minute shares. Who would like to take those?
Leah S.H.
Leah S.H. One more.
Joni M.
Joni M. Okay, go ahead, Leah.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Leah S.H., recovered compulsive overeater in Portland, Oregon. I don't share very often, and I decided I wanted to start sharing more. I've been listening to vision meetings for almost a year, about 11 months. I've worked through the steps. I have a sponsee, and I'm so grateful that we are back at the beginning of this book. One thing it's been impressed upon me in my own recovery is that what I thought was my eating problems or what I thought my disease was is nothing compared to what I think it is now. The deeper I go into recovery, the more I see how sick I was and have the potential to continue to be if I don't keep working the program and reading the book and sharing with the sponsee and checking in with my sponsor. It's just funny how my mind can say, oh, it wasn't that bad. You know, I wasn't that overweight. Although I was probably heading towards obesity, my life wasn't that unmanageable until it's changed now. It's not as unmanageable. And as that continues to heal, I recognize how unmanageable things were. And just really grateful that we get to start the book over again, because every day I have to wake up as if I'm a new compulsive overeater. And, you know, just turn my will and my life over to my higher power, ask him what he would need from me today, and continue on as best I can. Thank you.
Great. So nice to have you on the line with us, Leah S.H. Thank you so much. All right, Joni M., you will take us out. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. This is Joni M. from New York, and I'm very grateful to be here this morning. And I want to thank you for your service and all the wonderful shares I heard. And when I look at this paragraph that references the basic text, I think about where I was 3 years ago when I first came to OA. And I was blessed in my first OA meeting to be told about a vision for you. So I started right from the beginning. And I remember coming to meeting after meeting with my binders and my books. And everybody laughed because I had to carry so much stuff with me. But I embraced it with such optimism and hope, because it was like going to school and learning something. It was like learning a new language, and it was such a wonderful experience, and it brought me to recovery. And I was recovered, and I stayed with it for 2.5 years, and then as the book has given us, the book gives us so much hope. It tells us about so many things to be hopeful for, but it also cautions us. And, you know, I neglected to pay attention to the cautions. And over a while, I rested on my laurels. I became complacent. And I lost what was so beautifully given to me. But luckily, and not luckily, but by the grace of God, it didn't happen for a long period of time. And I'm back working the program again and working with my sponsor. And, you know, forever grateful for the fact to know that there is a text here that is always there. It's not changing. And anything that changes is because I took my own will back. But at least I can go back to what's familiar. And this time, day by day, with the help of God, I can stay with the text and forever be a student of the book. Thank you. And I'll go out on that.
Beautiful timing, Joni M. Thank you so much. Okay, she will be our last share for today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy G. please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Gina. It's Kathy G., gratefully recovered in Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.